Father in heaven, it is indeed a joy to come to worship you, to learn from your word, to help us to grow. It's indeed a privilege, Lord. And we ask that you would take us, and as we go systematically through the word of God, that you would help us to really hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us for these times. Challenge us, Lord. Grow us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And in his name we do pray. Amen. We're beginning a series. There are six parts to this series of spiritual warfare, victory in Christ. Spiritual warfare, victory in Christ, breaking free. And being free is not something that's automatic. If it were something that was automatic, Jesus would not have told us that if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. So breaking free means that there is something to be free from. And as we go through these six studies, we're going to learn through a consecutive systematic process on what the Word of God has to say about the dynamics of the spiritual battle that we are all in. How many of you, as believers in Jesus Christ, will attest to the fact that we are all in a battle? Raise your hand. All right. Praise the Lord. We're on one accord on that wise. Amen. So because we're in a battle, we need to understand how we got in the battle, and the Bible gives us the reference. The Bible gives us the background. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 8 it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, but they did not prevail." Amen? "Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer." Now, most of the textual references we're going to use come from the New King James Version, as we shared with you before. But we want you to know that we do that because we want it to be so clear that everybody can leave with a clear understanding. Some people find it a little difficult to understand the King's English as it is in the King James Version. So we're giving you the New King James Version. I like the fact that there are several parts that the Word of God gives us in this passage. There was war in heaven. So the war that we experience here in our own existence is not something that God has not already been experienced in. He is a war veteran. Amen. He is not a veteran of foreign wars. He's a veteran of holy wars. Amen. And so when we consider the fact that God is a veteran, God is well equipped to teach us, to tell us, to equip us on what we need to do to be effective in the war that we're going to find ourselves in. The next thing I like about this scripture is that there was an actual contention, a striving that lets us know that God does not tolerate, God does not sit idly by while war is going on. The Bible says that Michael and his angels fought. There was a fighting, there's a struggle. Many commentators have long wrestled with the idea of what type of fighting this was. Was it a physical fight? Was it strictly in the spiritual realm? What kind of struggle actually? Was there some bleeding going on? Well, we know that God is spirit, so we don't think that that occurred, but we do know that the Bible is true. The Bible is accurate. The Bible can be trusted. Amen? And because the Bible can be trusted, we know that if the Bible says that Michael fought, Michael the archangel, if he fought, we know that there was a struggle that was real, and the battle that went on there transitioned out of heaven, because the Bible says, as it finishes up that scripture, Revelation 12:8, it says that the devil did not prevail, neither was there place or a place found for them in heaven any longer. So I'm glad to know that the Lord at that first round conquered the devil. But the revelation inspires us and challenges us to go on further. And we see here in the same chapter, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, what does it say there? For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but what, everybody? A short time. He knows he has but a what, everybody? Short time. If the devil has a short time, then we need to recognize that our time is short. Some of us are still playing musical chairs with salvation. Some of us are still playing musical chairs with salvation. Some of us believe that we can play as long as the music is sounding and possibly we'll get that one last chair. But I've got news for you that your salvation, your eternal life is nothing to play with. Amen? And so because we are aware of this, that he has come down and he has come to us is what the inference is here. And he has but a short time. We need to be a little more astute. In fact, Jesus says himself in the first person, personal pronoun. He says, I, not through somebody else's eyes, but he says, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, I was there. I watched it. Some people don't believe in the devil. Some people believe that the devil is a mythological figure. Some people believe that the devil is someone who can be played with without consequences. Some people even believe that the devil is just an adversarial foe, and if you get beat up every now and then, you have known that you've been in a scrap, but by and large, he'll leave you alone if you leave him alone. That's how most of us think. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us that there is a war that started in heaven, and we know it and have identified it as the great controversy. How many of you have heard that term before? The great controversy. That's really what it's all about. The great controversy is simply a detailed chronicling of the spiritual battle that took place starting in heaven and is taking place here, and that will culminate with the destruction of the wicked and Satan and his angels. The great controversy is stemmed from the notion that we could choose who we want to worship. We do have the power of choice, but by choosing someone other than God to worship, there are invariably consequences for that. And so the Bible tells us that we need to be alert to this reality. And Jesus himself says, be alert, because I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The world is daily stirred with strife and calamity. We remember back to September 11, 2000, when we saw those jetliners flying into the World Trade Center, those towers, and we began to see just how evil man could be. The world is daily stirred with calamity and war. There's war in the Middle East, and it does not stop. It will not end. I don't care how many peace plans they put together. We have never been successful in bringing man to the table where he will not commit acts of war one against the other. But my Bible tells me that there will come a time when these swords will be beaten into plowshares and all of this will be gone, and we will study war no more. Amen? But until that time, we need to understand that the world is daily stirred with strife and calamity, war, contentions, disaster, and even death. How many thousands of people died in that one act that we saw there in New York? And it haunts many of our minds in a spiritual way that we cannot let go of the fact of those types of things happened on our soil. But how do the Iraqis feel right now as they unearth these mass graves? We ask ourselves, how can human beings do this to human beings? And we are wrestling, as all human beings are, to try to comprehend how these things happen. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, for though we walk in the what, everybody? Flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. Even though we walk in the flesh, even though you can pinch yourself and you know that you have blood running through your veins, you may be walking in the flesh, but your war, if you are in Christ, is not in the flesh. It's not in the flesh. Well, what is it then? Well, let's find out if the Bible has an answer for us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, in the last part, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What does it mean when it says that we are not ignorant of his devices? It means simply that if we know how the devil operates, if we know that we have an adversary, if we know that we have a foe, if we know that we have somebody that's coming against us, then we ought to be alert and on guard. The worst situation to be in is to be under attack and not know who the enemy is. But the Bible says that we are not ignorant of his devices. So if we don't know, it's because we choose not to know. Because the Bible is willing to tell us if we'll just open its pages and read what the Word of God has to tell us for these times. And I believe that this is what is needed for these times. In fact, the pen of inspiration tells us that the reason that the devil is so successful in coming against the people of God is because we are indeed too ignorant of his devices. The Bible tells us that we perish. In fact, the Lord says, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. So what we don't know in the spiritual realm will hurt us. Well, if we are not ignorant of his devices, or we don't have to be, we can also add to that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, another scripture that tells us emphatically, for we wrestle. If you have ever been in a wrestling match, you don't have to be a man to have been in a wrestling match, and you just remember back to maybe when you were young, maybe a few years ago when this occurred, but when you wrestle and you know that there's an exertion of strength and energy, and you are trying to get the best of your opponent, lest your opponent get the best of you. I want you to know that the devil wants to get the best of God's people. The devil wants to get the best of us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against what else? Powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the spiritual battle that we're going to talk about tonight is fought on two levels. How many levels, everybody? Two levels. And tonight we want to emphasize the spiritual and the physical action, or the spiritual and the physical activities, or the spiritual and the physical realm of this spiritual battle. This spiritual battle is fought on two levels. How many levels, everybody? Two levels. All right, let's look at them. First of all, we have the physical or natural, which is the visible realm. The physical battle, which is in the natural realm. And we're going to define this for you. We're going to help you to understand exactly what it means to be in the physical realm. All right? In the physical realm, we're not talking about just spiritual things that you can't understand, things that may be way out there that you can't comprehend. No, no. In the physical realm, we're talking about things that come against you personally, things that come against your loved ones personally, things that you can put your hands on, things that are tangible, things that you know that you've been in a battle. If you ever been in a scrap and you know that you've been in a scrap, come on, say amen. I mean, you come out of that thing and you know you've been in a battle. I was talking to a sister earlier and she said how she had been in a car accident. And she said, you know, the Lord got me out of there by a miracle. I want you to know that when you've been in something tragic or traumatic, you know you've been in it. Come on, say amen. You may not always know how you got in there, but you know you've been in there. Amen. And one thing about Christians is Christians who are really dedicated to the Lord. Come on, say amen. I'm not talking about half-baked Christians. I'm talking about thoroughly baked Christians. Amen. Truly, thoroughly baked Christians, people who are dedicated and committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. They're either going into a storm coming out of a storm or in the midst of a storm. Amen? But there is no such thing as being without a storm if you're walking with Jesus. Now, some of us would like to have these kind of lives where they're always calm and placid. I've got news for you. That's not what the Bible teaches happens to those who follow Christ. The Bible also teaches in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, resist him, speaking of the devil, resist him in the what, everybody? In the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, in other words, what you're going through, are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You think you're going through something that nobody else is going through? I've got news for you. Just put up a flag and let somebody know what's going on in your life. Somebody will step up next to you and say, hey, I can be a witness. I've been through that myself. Too many of us are too anxious to believe. Like, you know, the person who sits back and says, oh, I'm just suffering with Jesus. You ever heard anybody say that? Oh, yeah, I'm going to walk this journey all by myself. Huh? I don't know. Maybe you don't have that problem up here in Nashville. Come on, say amen. But I've got news for you that almost anywhere I travel, people think that what they are going through or what they're enduring is so unique that nobody anywhere else is going through the same problem. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, again, in 1 Peter 5, 9, resist him, resist the devil, steadfast in the faith. In other words, drop anchor in the Lord. Drop anchor in the truth. Drop anchor in the promises. Let your roots down deep in God's word and in God's promises and God's security. God's security is not just like a blanket. It comes and goes. God is a security that is steadfast and unmovable. Amen. Said that when that happens, know that the same sufferings that you are experiencing are being experienced by the brotherhood, meaning those in the household of faith somewhere else in the world. And I thank God that we have this passage of scripture that it lets me know that even if I don't know the person that's going through a rough time, somewhere in the cause of Jesus Christ, somebody is feeling what I'm feeling. Amen. And you know why that's good? Because it lets me know that I'm not in this alone, that nobody's just picking on me, that he does not like, speaking of the devil, he doesn't like anybody who chooses to serve the Lord. So we need to know that. Well, Jesus said this way, the thief cometh not but for to what? Steal and to do what? To kill and to do what else? To destroy. That's John 10:10. Those are three things you need to always remember, that the thief, speaking of Satan, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Too many of us have taken on a humanistic perspective of life. Do you know that? Let me tell you what a humanistic perspective is. A humanistic perspective is taking the same mind that the insurance companies have. You know what the insurance companies say? If something happens, they call it an act of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says if your house gets blown over by a tornado, God didn't have anything to do with that. Now, what the Lord does say in his word is that if you look for some rain, don't worry about it, because he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Amen? And he has the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. So God is equal when it comes to that. But when we see calamity and we see destruction around us, we need to know that God is not the author of confusion, that it is the devil's feet that we can lay that at. Now, the second thing that we want you to understand about this spiritual battle is that there is a spiritual or invisible realm. So when you deal with the devil, understand that there are two levels on which he operates. He operates on the physical realm or in the physical realm, and he operates in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is what you cannot see. The physical realm are the evidences of his activity. We're going to give you some examples, so hold on. Do we know this to be a fact? Is there a spiritual realm? Yes, indeed, because 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, and in this context he is likened to a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may, everybody knows that scripture, so finish it with me. Seeking whom he may what? Devour. All right? But the devil's special focus is not the world. Please know that. It is not the world. The devil does not worry about the people who he already has on his side. You think he worries about the person who's living in sin? No. You think he worries about the drug addict? No. Think he worries about the gambler? No. You think he worries about the prostitute? No. You think he worries about the alcoholic? No. You think he worries about the wife beater? No. Come on now, huh? You think he worries about the tax evader? No. Come on now. Come on, say amen. Y'all better stop cheating on your taxes. Somebody should have said amen to that. Huh? The devil does not worry about anybody who is living in open sin. Because anyone who is living in open sin is already on his side. He is concerned about those who are living for the Lord. Amen. And if you're living for the Lord, then he has painted a big target on your head. Come on, say amen. Now, if you don't think so, just stay with me just a little bit longer. The devil's special focus is not the world, but it is God's people and God's end time church. Now, when the dragon, again, we're going to use the New King James Version. This is, again, looking at Revelation chapter 12. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast out to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Revelation 12, 13. Who is the devil persecuting when he is persecuting the woman who gives birth to the male child? He is persecuting none other than the what? Church. Who is the male child? Jesus. What did he do to try to eradicate Jesus from history? What did he do? Had Herod move when the wise men wouldn't come back and said, go down and kill every baby, every male child from 2 years younger to make sure that all of the male children who might possibly overthrow his throne, because he was worried about a temporal throne instead of an eternal throne, he was trying to eradicate Jesus, and that's the reason that Jesus was taken by Joseph and Mary and was carried down into Egypt, because the devil was seeking to destroy our Savior. When he started his ministry and he began to preach, as it is recorded in Luke chapter 4, and they wanted to throw him off of the side of the mountain because he said, now is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Was that the Holy Ghost that made them want to throw Jesus off the side? No. So all throughout history, you can see how the devil has sought to destroy God's people. Remember that he operates in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. The physical realm is what you can see. The spiritual realm is what you can't see. Sometimes the devil gets in the house, gets in the church. Come on, say amen. Sometimes the devil gets in our midst and he is not where you can see him, but you know he's present even though you can't put your hand on him. Huh? And sometimes he shows up and he's in the physical realm and you can put your hand on him. You know he's been there. Calamity and destruction and disease and death. You know he's been walking through the house. But what does the Bible give us as further enlightenment about this? In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, the Bible says the dragon was enraged. Not in a friendly kind of relationship. He was enraged with the woman, speaking of the church, and went to make what? War. He didn't try to sign a peace treaty. Come on, say amen. Huh? Went to make war with the rest of her offspring. And who are they who keep the commandments of God? Anybody who keep the commandments of God? Come on, raise your hand. If you keep the commandments of God by faith in Jesus Christ, well, now I got news for you. The Bible says he's at war with you. Now, if you look at this, you might feel like, my, all of this coming at me, how will I ever make it? This is too much for me. This is overwhelming. Preacher, please, why did you have to come and tell us this? We were doing all right. Give me back my bottle and let me go back to sleep, my spiritual sleep, so I can just lullaby in good night. Come on now. Whenever the Bible, whenever the Word of God challenges us spiritually, the Word of God also gives us promises. Are you with me? Whenever the Word of God challenges us, it also gives us what, everybody? Promises. Because God does not bring us to an awareness of our condition or circumstance without giving us an insight to hope. Somebody ought to say amen. God never lets his people sit out there only sending them email messages, about the idea that you are under attack. Ooh, y'all better duck. It's coming. That's not the way the Lord operates. He'll say it's coming. Come over here. Remember part of Jesus' last words to Jerusalem. He said, weeping over Jerusalem, how often would I gather you as a hen gathers her chicks? How often would I have brought you under the protection of my wings? How often would I have cared for you? How often would I have placed you in a protective sanctuary? How often would I have covered you? How often would I have separated you? But you would not be separated. You would not be protected. Now your house is left unto your death. When Jesus comes again, unfortunately, some of God's children, the house is going to be left desolate because they will not take heed to the information that God has for us in his word. And one of the things that we're going to go through as we walk through this 6-part series is we want to show you in a very distinct way how you can go through the Bible and not have to always run to the spirit of prophecy to prove the conditions and the promises. And that doesn't mean I don't believe in the spirit of prophecy. Let that go down on the tape. Come on, say amen. Amen. I do believe. But the problem is that Ellen White has been so utilized that people don't even know. People can give you, Testimonies, Volume 5. She says in the book, Counsels on blah, blah, blah. She says, huh? But give me your scripture. Come on, say amen. Give me the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I know there's somebody who's going to listen to this tape and they're going to say, but, you know, she was equal with the other prophets. Let me just share this with you. The Bible says that we are to revere all the prophets, but the Bible gives us some clarity that we need to go back and study. And then when we have run into positions where we cannot get understanding, then we need to pick up the pen of inspiration and we need to see what supplemental information and what additional insights that the Lord has given to us through his prophetess. But we need to understand that we need to put to memory, we need to have rooted and grounded in our minds the Word of God. So can humans break free from all of this bondage? Well, we want to talk about the battle in the physical realm. What do we want to talk about? The battle in the physical realm. Come on, say that. The battle in the physical realm. Say it one more time. The battle in the physical realm. Now, when we talk about the battle in the physical realm, we're talking about the battle that Satan brings against God's people that we will feel in the physical realm. Anything that comes against you in the physical realm, you're going to feel it. The spiritual realm, you may experience it. But the physical realm, you're going to feel it. That cancer, the Lord didn't give it to you, but the Lord can take it away. Come on, say amen. Huh? We need to stop placing at God's feet things that come as a result of sin, a sinful world, and a wicked environment. God does not bring death. He said, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. God is trying to pass out eternal life. Won't somebody take it? If you will follow the diet that I'll give you, I will cause none of what? These diseases to do what? Come upon you. Won't anybody eat God's way? Come on, say amen. This is God's outline. God does not offer us disease and death. God is trying to give us life and health and vibrancy. So we need to deal with the battle in the physical realm. Is there an example in the Word of God that we can look at, that we can study, that we can kind of understand this battle in the physical realm? Why, yes, there is. If we look at the life of Job. Now, take just a moment with me. Let's get in a time capsule. Let's take a spiritual journey. Let's go to a place, not Oz, but us. I knew that'd wake you up. Going to the land of Uz. That's what the Bible said. Land of Uz. Now, let me tell you what's so interesting. What's so interesting is that Job, can we talk about Job for just a few minutes? Just a few minutes. I want to talk about Job. Is that all right? If it's all right, say amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, Job, let's ID the brother. Let's put an identification on the brother. We don't know what he looked like. So take that out of your mind. So he's just a silhouette. But he was rich. Filthy rich. All right? It's not a nice term, but somebody might say stinking rich. Huh? Come on, say amen. Huh? Don't be mad because you are not going to be as rich in your lifetime as Job. All right? Go and give the Lord an amen. All right? He gave us a story so we could learn something from Job. Now, the interesting thing is that when we look at Job, Job was minding his own business. That's what he was doing. He was not bothering anybody. Had some nice children. And he was such a spiritual guy that he would actually perform sacrifices just to be sure. The Bible says in Job chapter 1, he said, in the King James Version, it says, peradventure, if my children have sinned, I will perform a sacrifice for them just in case they did something wrong. That's a nice guy. He was covering all of his bases. Amen. He set up all of his kids in houses. Benevolent father. Treated his servants well. You know how I know? Because the Bible says when calamity struck, the servants came back and told Job. Anybody who would work for somebody that they wanted to get away from and they got a chance to be free did not go back to the master and say, hey, let me tell you what just happened to all your camels. Come on, say amen. Huh? When black people were enslaved in America and they got a chance to be free, did nobody go back home and tell them, hey, excuse me, by the way, I want you to know that all your horses got out of the stable. Nobody went back and told them a thing. Come on, say amen. Huh? I say, you know, you got to put a little bit of insight into the Word of God. Right? Amen. You don't make it up, but you kind of look there at the human experience through the human equation. And so when you look at Job, Job was a nice guy. His wife, on the other hand, I don't know about Mrs. Job. She was a very colorful character. Now, Job found himself in a very unique situation one day. Job was being talked about, and this is where it gets real serious, so I want you to listen to me very carefully. Job was living in the physical realm and being talked about in the spiritual realm. Come on now. Oh, walk with me now. Job was living in the what realm? Come on, you got to talk to me. Job was living in the what? The physical realm, but he was being talked about in the what? Spiritual realm. Say it one more time. Job was living in the what? But he was being talked about in the what? In heavenly places. Job was being talked about. In fact, the Bible says in Job chapter 1 that there was a day when the sons of God came together, and the Bible makes it clear that Satan came also with them. Two things we need to understand. That Satan had an opportunity for a time to dialogue with God about planet Earth. Secondly, we need to understand that Satan was also identified as being one of the sons of God. Come on now. A wayward son, but a son nonetheless. A bad son, but a son nonetheless. A wicked son, but a son nonetheless. A demonically driven son, a selfishly motivated son, but he was a son nonetheless. Sometimes we want to look at the devil as being some madman's creation, but the Bible identifies him in Job chapter 1 and also chapter 2 as being a son of God. Not the son of God, but a son of God. Come on, say amen. Now, let's go on a little bit further. So Job, minding his own little business on planet Earth in the land of Uz. And the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant who? Job. And listen to the testimony that the Lord gives about Job. He says he is perfect, he is upright, and he resists evil. I got news for you. I don't know if God could say that about most of us. Perfect, upright. That means a person of integrity. Come on, say amen. Means a person of sterling character. And resists evil. Not only doesn't like evil, he resists it. When evil comes knocking at the door, he doesn't go and open the door and say, what kind of evil are you today? Come on, say amen. Some of us are tempted by the look of the evil, amen? We may not like certain kinds of evil, but if evil looks a certain kind of way, we may say, now, yesterday's evil was not good, but today's evil, I don't know, I'll take two. I didn't think I was just talking to myself in here. Amen. So now, what do we see happening? What do we see being experienced here? So Job doesn't know what's going on. Has no idea that all of this is transpiring. And all of a sudden, Satan shoots back to God. Does he serve you for nothing? I mean, hey, he's living fat city. You done blessed him, giving him things in abundance. I mean, hey, I'd worship you too if you gave me all that. Isn't the devil a devil? Come on, say amen. Huh? I mean, he was next to God. He had a chance to live in the very presence of God, and he got the nerve to talk about, well, Job, I mean, is he serving you for nothing? Look at what all you gave him. The devil had been living on streets of gold. But because he knew in his heart that he wanted more, he was envious and covetous and selfish and self-centered, that he felt that he could play on the heartstrings of Job. And so he goes and he attacks Job at a very core level. He attacks Job by destroying his family and his wealth in the same day. Some of you have had tragedy in your lives, but you've never lost all of your children and all of your wealth within the same 24-hour period. That's like your banker calling you and saying, don't try to use your credit card because it's been canceled. Your checking account has been closed and your savings has been confiscated. The IRS calls you and says, you owe us tens of thousands of dollars. And then the police call or the highway patrolman says, your children were all in a van, and I'm sorry, they're turned over, and there's nobody alive. That's all in a 24-hour period. But the devil, being the devil, was fighting him in the physical realm, and there was one more place that he felt that he could attack him in the physical realm, although Job was being talked about in spiritual places. And that is a place that most of us find as the acid test of whether or not we will stay committed to the Lord. And that was his health. As soon as the devil goes back to the Lord, the Bible says, he comes back and he says, well, yeah, I got a chance to test him. And then the Lord asks him again, have you considered my servant Job that you did all of this to him and he is still perfect and upright and resistant evil? Ha, ha, ha. I mean, that's the way God, you know, that's kind of the way I look at it. You know, God said, ha, ha, ha. Okay, you thought you were going to take him out. Ha, but you missed. And then Satan gets angry and he says, skin for skin. All would a man give for his life. And all of a sudden, the table is now turned. And Satan is given authority. I want you to get this now. This is very critical. Satan is given what, everybody? Authority. And he is given authority to go back and bother Job at the level of his body. And he is tormented with disease. What should this whole story teach us? What should this story tell us? This story should tell us, first of all, that when things happen around us, take your mouth off of God. Amen. So many times we default to the idea, why did God do this to who? Me. Isn't that what we say? But the Bible tells us that it has nothing to do with God, that God did not do this to us, that we are victims of the great controversy at a very spiritual level. The next thing we need to understand is that as Job survived it, you and I can survive it. Remember, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from where? Heaven. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it. So this environment is his domain. Too often we'll say, well, you know, the Lord is in control of the earth. He is in control of the earth. He overrides and he overrules, but he does not promote the wickedness and the sin and the curses that are befalling this earth under this evil power that has temporary possession of the earth. That is so difficult for us to understand. Let me explain something to you. The reason that that's difficult for us is because most of us have taken on a Greek view of our biblical understanding. Now, the Greek view is simply this. The Greeks had a philosophical view or philosophical approach to looking at things. And they said basically that truth had to be either or. It had to be number one or number two. But the Hebrew mind never saw it as being that concrete. So the Hebrew had no problem understanding the coexistence of evil and good. Are you still with me? All right. Let's go at it another way. I appreciate you being honest. Let me say it another way. The Greek mind, which is what most of us have, because Greek philosophy drives our educational system. And it makes us look at things as being one and number two. If there is God, there should not be evil. And if there is evil, there should not be a holy God. Most people in the world have a problem when their child dies prematurely or some good person dies because of an accident. Because of the Greek philosophy, the Greek approach to thinking, they can't understand how if there's a holy, righteous, pure, good God, there is also the existence of evil and wickedness and wretchedness and disease and death. You'll see people even on TV. How if we have such a good God, we have all of these little starving babies over here? Why is God allowing this? But God is saying, I want you to understand that you've got this over here because you've got that over there. And what we have not been willing to accept as Christians is that there is a different way of thinking about the great controversy that the Bible wants us to identify with and understand. And that is, God exists and the devil exists. Come on now. And the devil will exist until God says the devil can no longer exist. And as long as the devil exists, there are going to be problems. There are going to be diseases. There's going to be death. There's going to be destruction. And God over here has nothing to do with it. How did we get that over there? We got that over there from two different aspects. Number one, because the Bible says iniquity was found in his heart. What was found in his heart, everybody? Iniquity. The Bible says iniquity was found in the devil's heart. Before he was fallen, he was called Lucifer, son of the morning. Amen? But when iniquity was found in his heart, then he began to try to bring everybody else under his way of thinking. One other point, and that is the way we have him over there is because in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You cannot what? Eat. And in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely what? Die. And we did not like, the human race did not like God's verdict on obedience or disobedience rather. And as soon as man disobeyed, mankind was too anxious to buy into the lie that the devil wanted to sell, which was what? You shall not surely what? Die. You and I must come to accept, even though it is extremely complex, the coexistence of good and evil. It is complex, but at the same time, it really is quite simple. Let me put it to you in a more basic term. If there was not sin, Jesus would not have needed to die. Come on, say amen. And sin is the evidence of holiness being corrupted. And the devil wants to make each one of us believe that we are in a trap and can't get out. But Job is our example that you and I can get out. Come on, say amen. Have you considered my servant Job? The Lord himself says, there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. The battle in the physical realm has spiritual implications and consequences. The battle is in the physical realm of what we see happen to Job, but what he decided about what he experienced in the physical realm affected his spirituality. Follow me now. Are you with me? Come on now. Stay with me. If it's deep, everybody say deep. Come on, say deep. It's deep water, but that's all right. Pull out the wading boots. We're going deeper. Come on, say amen. Let me share this with you. If we allow ourselves to spiritually collapse every time something comes against us, then we are denying the power of God to overcome the devil. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Amen. And because he overcame the world, we have to hold on and fasten to that. Now, let me ask you this. If we can look at Jesus, that's looking back, and grab his words that say, I have overcome the world. Tell me this. What did Job have to look to when he held on? Come on now. Because Job was before Jesus. Come on, say amen. Job was before Calvary. Job was before the garden tomb. Job was before the risen Savior. Job was before the Redeemer that ever lived to make intercession for us. But yet Job says, I'm going to hang on. Come on, say amen. So Satan attacked Job at two critical levels. Number one, he attacked Job's family and his wealth. And number two, he destroyed Job's health. Job survived the attacks of Satan by maintaining focus on the what? Spiritual battle. Come on, say it with me. Job maintained focus by survived by maintaining focus on the what, everybody? Spiritual battle. In other words, he didn't think in the physical realm. He thought in the what? Spiritual realm. Why does the Bible tell us to put your mind on things? Come on, finish that scripture. On what? Above. Fix your mind on things eternal. Look at what the Bible has to say. This is what Job's testimony was prior to the crucified and risen Savior. This is his testimony. Naked I came out from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord did what? Gave, and the Lord has taken what? Away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, is he saying the Lord literally took it away? No. He's saying the Lord allowed it to be taken away. I don't know why. He couldn't walk up into the God's throne room and say, excuse me, what y'all doing up here that I'm losing all of this stuff? Come on now. Are you listening to me? He didn't get a chance. Excuse me. I want to get in this discussion. Excuse me. What in the world is going on in my life? But he said, if the Lord allowed it to happen, it's all right with me because I trust the Lord. That is the reason why Job says elsewhere, though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust in him. Why would Job say that he'd still trust in God? I'm going to tell you why as we come to a close. You know why? Because God can be trusted. Come on now. Can God be trusted? I ain't trusting you, but I will trust God. Come on, say amen. Because God has proven himself to be faithful. He's proven himself to be consistent. He's proven himself to be a God of integrity. He's proven himself to be a God who's always there. If I call him, he's not busy. If I call him, he's not on vacation. If I call him, he's not hung up with somebody else who has a need bigger than my need. If I call him, he will answer. Oh, that's why I love the Lord. He can be trusted. Naked came I out from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not, what everybody? Sin, nor charge God with wrong. Do you know why that's so important? Because Jesus took the same understanding that Job had in saying, none of this matters. Eternal life matters. None of this matters. The spiritual realm matters. None of this matters. Heavenly places matter. Jesus was the one who told us in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves what? treasures. Do not worry about your what? Life. What you will eat or drink. Nor about your body, what you will put on. And then he goes on and he says, do not worry about what? Tomorrow. Jesus says, don't worry about this, because this is all in the what? Physical realm. Everybody say physical realm. Physical realm. But it's not important what's going on in the physical realm. Come on, say amen. It's important what's going on in the spiritual realm. That's why the Bible says, is your name written in the book of life? You can't find a book of life on planet Earth. Come on, say amen. But up there in the spiritual realm, there's a book of life. Amen. And I want to have my name written in the book of life in the spiritual realm. Jesus says, don't focus on this. So how do we break free in the spiritual realm? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not just the financially poor, but the spiritually poor. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. And nobody is blinder than he who will not see. Come on, say amen. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Luke 4:18. This is our scripture that we're going to use as our cornerstone as we go through this six-part series. That's James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to ask you to put it to memory. It's very simple. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will do what? Draw nigh to you. Simple text. I'm going to ask you to memorize that. First thing we need to do is submit all to Christ. That's the first thing we need to do. What is the first thing, everybody? Submit all to Christ. Everything that you think is important in this world, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Give your children to Jesus. Give your spouse to Jesus. Give your job to Jesus. Then when you get pink slipped, it won't matter. Come on, say amen, because you were already giving it to the Lord. Come on, say amen. There's nothing guaranteed on this earth. Submit it all to Christ. Second thing is resist the devil. We're going to talk about that some consecutive nights. How we can make sure we're not giving an opportunity for him to have access to our lives. Third point is draw close to God. And we want to draw close to God because he is the only means of true security. Submit all to Christ, resist the devil, and get close to the Lord. How many of you believe that if there was ever a time that we needed to be close to the Lord, now is that time? How many of you believe that? There's not a day you can turn on your television or go out on the internet and look at the news, and the world has gone stark, raving mad. I don't know what you see, but that's what I see. The news everywhere doesn't offer me any hope. I'm not getting excited about what I see. Everything around this world says that there is calamity and destruction and death and disease. Just when we thought that AIDS was the last thing to talk about, and HIV was the dominant medical thought, now we've got SARS. Almost a whole continent running around with masks on their face, trying to avoid a disease that they don't even know what it is yet, except it's a viral infection that attacks the lungs, the respiratory system. My Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 1 that this earth will wax old like a garment. That's why the Lord tells us, don't put your trust, your hope, your future in things that fade away. There's nothing permanent about this earth. Bought a brand new house when I moved to California back in 1995. Brand new house. Boy, I was so proud. First time I bought a house, I felt so good. I step back and I look at that house every day. I'd walk out in the middle of the street. Of course, I had to pay that note, but every day I'd look at that house. I'd say, boy, the Lord is good. Just excited, first house. all of a sudden, within about 3 or 4 months, I noticed the nails had a little rust in them. I said, now, wait a minute. This is a brand new house. What kind of nails did they use that have got rust? I was in it about 2 years, and all of a sudden, I got some kind of leak that was down around the basin of the shower. Started creating a wet spot along the drywall. Started creeping up the drywall, and mildew started coming in. I said, what kind of house is this? Come on now. Put my trust in my house. Come on, say amen. Huh? Then I found out after so long I have to have termite inspection, because the termites might come and eat up my investment. Come on, say amen. Huh? What did Jesus say? Don't put your trust, confidence, future in the physical realm. Put your trust and your confidence in the spiritual realm. Now, I know some of us, we think in terms of, well, that's so far off. Is it? Life is not promised. And because life is not promised, we really don't know how long our future is. So the question really tonight is not how long you'll live or whether to die. Tonight is the time to do it. But the question really is, are you willing to live in the spiritual realm? Because if you live in the spiritual realm, placing your mind on things eternal, no matter when your time is, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. Anybody want to join me in standing and saying, Lord, I'll live in the spiritual realm from tonight on. Father in heaven, it's a hard thing for us to grab hold to things that are not seen. But Lord, increase our faith and give us a capacity to appreciate the things which are eternal. Instill within us a joy for the heavenly, a longing for the eternal. Because we've placed our confidence in Jesus Christ, and we will not turn back. Lord, we pray this prayer in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let everyone say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.